Blog Talk Radio.
Because when things stay alive in the most existential of moments, configured to Torah Chaim and Shoks of Life, Torah Chesed, Shoks of Kindness, Torah Rachem, Shoks of Mercies, you now tune into Blog Talk Radio. We humbly sit with a higher inner frequency. We call ourselves Soul Talk. This is Soul Talk number 817, Proverbs Teachings to Access Wisdom and Righteousness, presentation number 34. Blesses our eternal Creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. With the Creator's help, our next broadcast will begin today, right now, on April 28th, 2024. It's now 12:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals a.k.a. Unified Soul Actualization. The central topic for discussion will be sharing the written and oral Torah traditions regarding King Solomon's Proverbs, one of the most powerful teachings from the Israelite Tanakh, Torah, Prophets, Holy Writings. If you want to make the program a little bit more organic than we had a couple weeks ago, you can from our Persian friends. Call number is 563-999-3688. That's 563-999-3688. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And we were listening to some klezmer music. To call it Jews blues is kind of like a cheapening of the term. It's cheapening the term for blues, and it's cheapening the term for Jewish music. We're also, by the way, we're broadcasting on Facebook Live, and as well, I just want to point out that today's what he called listening audience, or has been primarily from the United States of America, where we have basically 82.61% of our listening audience, in Australia 5.80%, France 2.17%, Germany 1.45%. We have a listening audience composing of 1.5% of Argentina. And also, something that came up on the radar last week, that we're having some people listening from South Africa. So good morning or good afternoon or good evening. I know they're 20 hours ahead of us, so you can figure out what that means in terms of time. I guess that's 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow morning already. Anyway, so already they should be in the seventh day of Passover. Blessed souls, we have also joining us today, we have our Rambam student, teacher, and advocate, and activist for dispersion of the teachings of the great eagle Rambam, Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimonides, Dennis Ryan. Good morning, sir.
Hello, hello, Don, and hello to all our listeners on whatever telephone they're on.
Blog Talk Radio, and also we're recording live on Facebook. Just to point out, for those who can see me live on Facebook, you can see that over my right shoulder is, in fact, four boxes of matzah. We've been eating unleavened bread for the past week, last Monday night. So we're coming to the conclusion of the Passover festival, but there are things to talk about. And one of the things something we've been doing for the last 3 months or so from Worldometer, worldometers.info/world-population-population/, that today, unfortunately, we lost 83,000 people. It's almost 84,000. But new souls and new bodies coming into this world is totaling up to 100. The ratio is 2 people born for every person who passes on to the next level of life. So I just want to share that with everyone, just to a little vinegar in the wounded consciousness of the eugenicists and also social engineers who think the world has to run one way, but really we need the consensus, first of all, of the blessings of the Creator, followed by each individual people governing themselves according to their own sense of sovereignty and sense of hopefully righteousness, to make it a more civilized world. So with that being said, I want to turn to a teaching going back to 1943, before most of them have been born. This is a teaching delivered at the first night of the Passover celebratory meal, delivered by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson, who lived from 1880 until he passed on to the next level of life in 1950. He writes the following. I'm looking forward to Dennis's commentary on this, because there's a lot, unfortunately, of argumentation going on in the creation right now, a lot of very severe argumentation, and the sixth Rebbe gave the following advice. Concerning our error, it's written, and I'll say it in English, and we'll translate it to the Hebrew. I'll read it in Hebrew and translate it to English, excuse me. Hamaskil Esahi Yudom. And that's a prophecy from the prophet Amos, or Amos, chapter 5, verse 13. At that time, the wise man shall be silent. This does not mean that one should say nothing. It means that one should say once what needs to be said concerning that time, not laboriously spelling it out day after day. Rather, one should be silent, as in the verse, V'yudom Aaron, and Aaron fell silent. When did Aaron fall silent? And that was brought down in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3, when his two sons, Nadab and Avihu, fell prey to a death penalty because they entered a certain part of the tabernacle. And there are different opinions why the death penalty was decreed upon them. But, in fact, they were two saintly people whose entire aim in life was coming near to God. At that time, Aaron fell silent. That they had a desire to get closer to God was fine. But, unfortunately, what they did not internalize to the point that it would have spared their life is that the only purpose of coming close to God is to bring godliness into the world and to fellowship with other people and to explain the purpose of life, rather than just to aspire to God with some sort of spiritual ecstasy. For the wise man at this time, in this era on the eve of the redemption, in this era of the birth pangs of Messiah, when the Almighty is cleansing the sinful world and sinful men, in this era, when harsh edicts, heaven forbid, have been decreed on the saintliest individuals, the house of Israel, this is a time to remain silent. We have to also mention, too, many good people of the nations of the world have been taken from us in recent years with COVID and other calamities, natural disasters. One's head is dulled, one's heart is bruised, one's spirit is battered. It is natural to fall silent. But in spite of all, one must not be foolish. We must look with eyes wide open at what is happening and see the truthful meaning that all these events signify. We must be obedient and fulfill what is expected of us without waiting for later, because that could be, God forbid, too late. We want to explain that Hasidim should relate to not just the Jewish form of Hasidism, but any people or any individual who wants to live a pious type of lifestyle, that a pious person or a chassid or a chassida in the feminine should relate to a subject's innermost dimension. This means that one should not be satisfied with what understands at first glance, even when that happens to be a great deal. Everything that the Creator has decreed on this era of the end of days, on the eve of the redemption, with all the severity of the birth pangs of the Messiah, Hasidim, the pious ones of creation, ought to understand all of this in its innermost dimension and ponder deeply upon it. For a chassid, for a pious person to be a fool, is a shame and a disgrace. So Dennis, your take on these words from the previous Rebbe.
Well, Rabbi Schneerson lasted a long time, and he had many things to say. And we must honor his intentions, because there's something behind it. And what it is, yes, you can talk with your mouth, but God also listens to your mind. Your mind is very, very important. We all know what you say to other humans comes out of your mouth. But when you communicate with God, you can communicate with your mind. So what's in your mind is also available to God. Do you realize that? So that what you say, you're not fooling anybody when it comes from your mind. You can fool whatever you want, what comes from your mouth. But are you always in control of your mouth? Are you always in control of your mind?
Right.
We must be very careful how we express ourselves and our opinions, because we can hurt other people with our mouths. We can hurt other people with our minds, but you have a connection to our Creator with your mind, so you must be careful. He loves you, He created you, and He's waiting for you to respond, if you respond. But that's your choice. You must remember to say a prayer, to say hello to God. You may do it with your mouth, and some people will say you're very pious. Fine. But if you do it with your mind, are you pious? Who knows? But God knows everything. You can have no secrets from God. He is always in your mind. What your mouth says is what you're expressing to other humans. You cannot talk directly to God because there's no communication. But with your mind, you're always in contact with God. So before you speak, it's usually recorded somewhere in your brain, in your mind. So by tapping into your mind, we know exactly what you're thinking, what you're going to say, and how you behave. So we humans must remember that we are put here for a purpose. That purpose is to praise God. If we don't praise God, who are we praising? The devil? That's your choice. But remember, God is always listening, and He loves you. Why? He put you here. He made sure you're here. He made sure that your mind is working. That is positive. All different directions. He is available. Are you?
Thank you, Dennis. Now, Dennis, while you were talking, someone took me up on an offer and has called into the program. I'm going to let them in. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. Human being, obviously. Let's see who this is and see if we can engage them into this conversation.
Hello, gentlemen.
So,
can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Your first name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Howard, and I'm calling from New York.
Upstate?
No, Roosevelt, Long Island.
Okay. Howard, good afternoon. How are you? How did you find out about the program?
Well, like the gentleman said, you know, God is in our mind, and today I needed a prayer, and I went on the internet, and I saw your show, and the words that that gentleman just said are so beautiful, without judgment, that we can speak to God. And I called you because I felt that the great Creator is sending me your way, because I would like to make a request for a prayer, if that's possible.
No problem, sir. No problem. Let me just say this, that before you do that, Howard, no problem, because I do believe in the power of prayer. I've mentioned this many times on the program. I just want to preempt your request by, in about 1993, there was a very talented football player who, something very terrible happened to his spinal cord. His name was Dennis Byrd. He played for the New York Jets, and he collided with one of his teammates. And his wife had asked, people calling over the country inquiring of his welfare, she said, please pray for my husband, that he'll be okay. And eventually he would walk again, even though he had severe damage to his spinal cord. So the power of prayer has been shown time and time again to be an effective tool. Of course, we have to conduct ourselves according to natural means as well, but to fuse the divine with the mundane is part of living life on earth. So what is your request, sir?
Howard.
Thank you. And I'm,
Howard?
Hello? Yeah. Yes,
let's
sir.
Hear your prayer.
Well, thank you, sir, for your kind words. And you're right. When we have a choice to speak to humans, I take a step back. I think of the great Creator inside of me, and I choose kindness. And if we all choose kindness, the world will be in harmony the way it is in heaven, just like the Our Father, on earth as it is in heaven. It's a simple phrase given to us by God that we could exercise on earth and be better people. So I thank you so much for your comparison of words and the mind. And now I'd like to ask for my prayer request. I suffer from anxiety. I love my wife very much, and she wants to go to Italy. I don't want to disappoint her. But my friend, Jimmy, has been persuading us and her to go, and the anxiety is overwhelming to me. Could you please pray that Jimmy refrain from persuading us? You know, Jimmy has stomach ailments, and I was wondering maybe, and it's already in his body, in his vessel that God gave him, could we pray perhaps that Jimmy gets a stomach ailment so our trip to Italy is canceled and I can continue to stay home with my wife?
Well, I wouldn't pray for his stomach ailment to continue. I would rather pray that he get healed and he realizes the healing is coming from God. I'll be honest with you. And as far as him not being an influence, why not? I mean, I'm interested to see what Dennis would say. Just have I don't know how many years he's a friend of your family or with your wife and you, but perhaps just a very isolated conversation with him to explain your perspective, because it's really a matter to be decided between you and your wife, and not that someone should try to, bring marital disharmony between you two. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, my take is that Jimmy, Howard, and his wife, that God will help them. How? I don't know, but God will. He's always available. If you call him, he will respond. But that doesn't mean he will talk to you. Unfortunately, he has his own ways of doing things, and that's what we believe in. So we continue to believe and hope that he will help us where the help is needed. So I hope, Howard, that help will come your way and you will find some relief. But that doesn't mean you stop praying.
I won't stop. Thank you. I won't stop praying. But, sir, I didn't get your name, sir, if I may ask.
My name is Don.
Ms. Don, and who's the other gentleman?
Dennis. You got the two DDs, Dennis and Don.
Oh, Dennis and Don. Is Don the older gentleman who just spoke?
No, Dennis is the older.
No, you got it switched around.
Yeah.
Oh, Dennis, yes. Dennis, thank you, and thank you, Don, so much. Dennis, is it wrong for me to pray that my friend Jimmy gets a stomach ailment to prevent this trip?
It is not wrong if you believe in what you're doing. Because what you believe in doing is you're following the path that you believe in. We don't want
good.
To put
good.
Doubt in your belief. But at the same time...
No, I will never have doubt. I will never have doubt, Dennis. But can you pray that Jimmy gets this stomach ailment so it cancels our trip to Italy, please?
I would gladly pray for that cause of yours. Why? Because it sounds like it's a good cause, so that things get straightened out and we all live in peace.
All right. His name is Jimmy, and let's ask for a stomach ailment so Howard does not have to go to Italy. I'll listen. Go ahead.
Well, I've been to Italy several times. I love it. But I also love America. So some things changed when I got to Italy. Not everything, but what we have and what we believe in is we take it with us, whether we go to one country or another. Our minds go with us. When we visit places, we don't leave anything there. We pick up our luggage, and we still have what's in our minds, and we bring it back to home, wherever that is. So God bless you, Jimmy, and your wife.
Thank you. And can I ask you this? If Jimmy, if he doesn't get a stomach ailment, could we pray that maybe the pilot cannot fly the plane for whatever reason that day and the trip will be canceled? Can we pray that the pilot cannot fly that day?
All as we can do is say a prayer and hope that God will see what we need and he will rectify the situation. It may not be 1, 2, 3. It may not be a lightning bolt, but God is always with us, and that's what we believe in.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay. I am the way I am trained within my, I'm a Torah observant Jew. I don't like to pray for the downfall of people, but rather I'd like to direct you to chapter 55, verse 23 in King David's Psalms, and this is something that I think you could feel and understand and perhaps intend your prayers this way. He says in chapter 55, verse 23, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous man falter. So if you're going, Howard, in the right way, you won't falter in this situation. That is something that I can advocate as a prayer. Cast your that we ask the Almighty to take the supplication of Howard, to take away his burdens in this situation, which is causing him anxiety, and that you should see, and Howard should see that he will not falter in this type of, which is obviously a big test for him. And if it's a test for him, that means it's a test for his wife. I mean, I just want to mention, I'm married 33 and a half years, and Dennis is probably 40 plus, if not 50 years. So you're talking to seasoned veterans of marital relationships, Howard. So I do know that it's very easy to want to cast down. But again, King David, who was a prophet and a king, said, lift up. Throw your prayers up as your burden to the Creator, and he'll never let you falter. That's what I'll say.
Let me just say, Howard, trust in God, it works. But it works in his way, not in our way.
Right. So could we pray that my friend Jimmy gets a bad stomach ache and we don't go to Italy?
Well, we don't want to do any harm to Jimmy, but we would like the situation to be resolved.
I would prefer Jimmy.
I understand. I'm sorry, I got broken up. Go ahead, Don.
I would say I'd prefer that Jimmy gets healed and have an epiphany of awareness of God's presence in his life, that brought the healing, and he, in the process of getting some sort of healing from heaven, that he should realize that he was overbearing and interfering in your relationship with your wife.
And if he doesn't, what's your thought on praying that the pilot cannot fly the plane that day for a health reason?
I want to go with the first option. Let me ask you: is this Jimmy a sibling of your wife, or is this just a family friend?
Jimmy's a family friend, and he's a great man. But he keeps pushing this Italy on me, and he doesn't care for my anxiety. And the guilt is too much because I want to please my wife, who I love so much, and that's why I'm praying that Jimmy has colitis and he gets flare-ups and he gets bouts of stomach acts up, and I was thinking, well, he already has this. This is the body that his soul was put into. So can we pray that he gets a condition with his stomach and it cancels the trip, and I won't be blamed by my wife? Can we do that to Jimmy?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Howard. Have you verbally engaged in a conversation how this situation is causing you undue anxiety?
I constantly express it, but then it aggravates my wife, so I don't want to get her upset, and I just keep quiet. And this Jimmy just keeps pushing Italy on us. We're going to have a great time. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. He tries to be funny and engaging, and he doesn't consider my anxiety. So I want him to understand my pain and ask that, he gets bouts of unfortunately explosive diarrhea, that he gets the diarrhea on before Italy, so we don't go. So he understands my pain.
Trust in God, it will all work out, Howard.
It's very hard for me to pray for someone downfall or not being able to fly, Howard. Just the way I'm, Dennis knows me for almost 14 years, and I don't think he's ever heard me, because to me, I'm not allowed to curse someone, so it's like, to me, to make that a prayer, from my cultural perspective, it's like I'm cursing. I'd rather the person have a healing, and your wife as well come to some sort of epiphany of sensitivity towards your anxiety, because it's also, that's a relationship issue, that as much as Jimmy could sell it, if your wife is buying it on the, with the understanding, if she's aware of it, I gather she would be understanding because you're living together under the same roof, this is causing anxiety, then maybe she'll back down a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, that's just the opposite. And that's why I think no matter what Jimmy says, we're going to go forward with this. And I was hoping maybe you can pray that the pilot has to cancel the trip.
Again, Howard, please forgive me. And then again, Dennis knows me. He could say, you know, Dennis has never heard me pray for someone. I just don't pray for people's downfall or even inconvenience. Because there's like a certain thing, like it's sort of like, you know, from a Torah biblical perspective, it's like I could be arousing a judgment on myself. I'd rather pay for a positive. Now, if they don't want to engage in that positive approach or engage in epiphany because they're choosing to be guided by some sort of type of consciousness, that's the consequences they'll have to face. Like Jimmy right now is making tension between you and your wife. For sure, he has to face the consequences of making disharmony between you and your wife. That's something he has to repent on.
Can that consequence be diarrhea so we don't go to Italy?
Dennis, can you chime in? You know me very well.
What happens, Howard, is we have to emphasize the positive. We can't think of negative things that are going to help us. We can't think of negative things for other humans. Positive. That's how God put us here. That's how we set up our brains. That's all we were supposed to be thinking of. If you think negative, you're bringing in the anti-God. You don't want to do that. We don't need the devil for anything. We need God to do positive things for us. So think of it that way. Is there something better? Is there another way? God has many, many different ways. Leave it in his hands. We humans can only follow God's plan.
Right, Dennis. But when you said the negatives, what have I said that comes across as negative?
Well, there's a primary concept called do no harm. So you don't want to create a negative situation by doing harm. And if you're thinking about it, who knows what may happen? If you had the power to inflict negative things on people, you would be the anti-God to a certain extent. So why go against all the precepts of what we know about God and emphasize the negative for any reason whatsoever?
I understand, but what exactly, I don't understand, what exactly am I asking for that you see as being negative specifically?
Well, when you say something could happen to the pilot, something could happen to Jimmy, it goes on and on. What do you mean something? You brought up one thing. There's many things that could happen. Suppose Jimmy was to die tomorrow. I don't wish that on anybody, and I don't think God thinks in a negative fashion at all. So we must accept our plan that God has for each and every one. And it's a positive idea. He put us here to enjoy all the things he's created around us. Yes, we have to deal with humanity, but humanity is not perfect, and neither are we. But we trust in God that things will turn out on the positive side. That's how we live our lives. We live our lives that way.
You're right. You're right, Dennis. And you're right. No, I will refrain from any negativity towards human beings. Jimmy is my friend, and I do love him dearly. And I was just thinking of an ailment that he already has. I wasn't asking for anything new, but I understand what you're saying. But how about God himself? How about nature? I mean, could we pray that, Italy's surrounded by water? Could we pray that maybe some Italy gets covered by water temporarily and we don't have to go to Italy? Could I pray to God for that, for Italy to be somewhat immersed in water temporarily from this beautiful seas God made and our trip will be canceled? How about the Italy being covered in water?
That could lead to loss of life.
We have to be careful. If we think we're giving advice to God in any way, shape, or form, he didn't put us here to tell him what to do. He is in charge. He controls Mother Nature. He controls all humanity. So whatever the plan is, and we don't know what our plan is, but we live it, and we try to do it on a positive basis. In the end, we will be judged. But we don't go around judging while we're here. When we die, we will be judged based on the good and the bad things we've done.
Yep.
So think positive.
Amen to that, Dennis and Don. And but Dennis or Don, is it okay just for an act of what we call an act of God that Italy be immersed in water temporarily so it cancels my trip? Can I pray to God for Italy to be covered in water?
I can't pray for
how many people. Do you know how many people would be drowned?
I can't do that. I can't do that. I'd rather a positive solution. But when is this trip projected to take place? If it takes place, hopefully it won't take place. But what are they projecting or telling you it will take place?
In July.
Okay, you have plenty of time. It's not even May yet. So there's, you know, I think the tickets were booked.
Oh, no, not yet, but we're close. But what was Dennis saying about drowning? Who's going to drown? I don't understand.
If all the waters around Italy rose up and covered Italy, how many people would drown? I mean, they've had enough earthquakes there that killed a lot of people. Mother Nature is not to be fooled around with. Mother Nature has to be taken seriously. It was created and controlled by God. We, from a human viewpoint, don't interfere with God's business. We live our lives, and that's what we put on earth here for. Think positive, trust in God. Things will work out.
Thank you, gentlemen, so very much. Dennis and Don, let me get the checklist. So no stomach ailments for Jimmy, correct?
Right.
No ailment for the pilot. And no water for Italy.
Right. And also to pray that Jimmy should repent, that he shouldn't create discord between you and your wife. He needs to repent on that. If you told him already you don't like the idea, it bothers you, he should repent over creating disharmony between you and your wife. That he has to repent on.
Right. I can't thank you, gentlemen, enough for your time and for everything. And I really am in sync with what you're saying, and I want to live my life just leading with kindness and peace, and that's the struggle sometimes that we go through, because here I am trying to be loving to my wife, and yet I'm getting interference from somebody, and I want to be kind and loving, yet I want to stop the interference of my love, which is Jimmy, and that's
right.
Why I asked for him to, you know, get, you know, just a temporary bout of, you know, colitis or diarrhea, or the pilot maybe gets, you know, has to cancel a trip because he gets a bad headache. That's why I'm asking for this. I don't want God to see me as a bad person.
May God bless Howard.
Amen. God bless Howard. Howard, listen, you're welcome to come back at a future date. Tell us what's going on, or just, you know, just sharing teachings from King Solomon and Proverbs, but this is part of life. You know, this is what makes the show more organic. You're welcome to stay on, but I have actually another caller. If both you gentlemen, Jimmy and I'm sorry, Howard and Dennis, hold on. We're going to bring in another caller. You're on the air. Area code is 111. Can you give your first name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my friends. Shalom, Yarishon. This is Brother Mike from Singapore. How are you?
Wow, you're originally from Persia, right?
Yes, of course. Yes.
And we,
on behalf of all the Iranians, you know, we love the state of Israel, government of Israel, all Israeli, we love you guys, but is Ayatollahs are the problem. Please differentiate that in your show. I know your listeners, they know that, but I want to emphasize that Iranian people love America, love Israel, and these Ayatollahs are not from Iran. They are from Hamas. They are from PLO. They occupied the country of Iran, and now Hamas occupied universities in United States of America, and we understand, we are sympathy with you all. And I have a question for you guys. This regarding the red rifle, is that being still alive, or do Israel did sacrifice for red rifle yet, or when it will be? Can you please tell for your listeners?
So let me chime in. First of all, it's very nice. You know, there are groups of people, you know, even within the Jewish people, there are people that sometimes want to jump the gun. Like, for instance, there's an institute in Jerusalem that wants to build the temple before the Messiah comes, which, according to the Israelite tradition that I follow from Judaic teachings, we need the Messiah, the Mashiach, the King of Israel, first of all, to strengthen the observance of the teachings of the Torah, the oral and written teachings, and at that point, he will lead the people towards the building of the temple, at which point the 12 tribes of Israel will come back to the land, and part of that process of rededicating the temple is then accessing the red heifer. So it's very nice that if it's true or not, you haven't been there, and you have to be a real big expert or a law to identify, but I think that really the emphasis has to be acts of kindness. And we learn Torah amongst the Jewish people. We advocate for all the people of the world to adhere to seven Yusna principles of not killing in a premeditated fashion, which is what Hamas and the PLO does, and what the Ayatollahs have advocated. Number two, not to blaspheme the Creator, not to curse the Creator, not to commit adultery, not to steal from another person, not to eat the limb of the alive, to make righteous justice systems, which will promote education and charity. If we have time in the program, we'll talk a little bit about charity. So it's nice that they have such an animal that seems to fit the description, but really there's nothing you can do with it until the Messiah, the Mashiach, comes. And to try, like, for instance, to try to build the temple will then feed into the Christian narrative before the Messiah comes, saying the person that comes will be the Antichrist or the Anti-Messiah. Now, by us, the Anti-Mashiach, the Anti-Messiah, is someone who's not going to rid the world of hatred, jealousy, and competition, which is not needed. So it's very interesting. It's very nuanced that they claim to have found the cows. But really, there have to be much more broader changes within Jewish people and the peoples of the world for these things to manifest as we would want them to manifest. And not just because something looks like it, you know, like the old saying, it looks like a duck, talks like a duck, smells like a duck, it must be a duck. That doesn't mean that this, you know, you can't just, they cannot just use that, this animal, as a pretext, because you need the leader to guide us in this matter. And then we also have a great tradition, a greatly honored tradition, that at the time of the Messiah coming, the ancient peoples of the world will resurrect, like Adam and Noah and Abraham. And when these people come back, there will be no questions what to do with a red heifer, not what to build up, not, because the Messiah will be at the head of all this. So, Dennis, you know, your take on these matters, I'm not overly excited the fact that they have a cow that could fit the standards of the red heifer, which is used to purify the Jewish people from their spiritual impurities.
The latest report we had, that they said that 22nd of April, they sacrificed four, so it's not true then, yet.
I'm not saying they might have found it, but again, there's nothing really you can do with it. You need the Messiah, the Mashiach, the King of Israel, to lead the procession. You need prophets to come back. You know, we don't have it. We have some knowledge. Some people have a little knowledge, but we can't put the cart before the horse. You know, we really need Messiah for all these things to be activated. You know,
Don, there's no secret of how to get to heaven. You either love God or you don't.
Right.
And you can love him. There's no problem with that. But there's no secret way of getting into heaven. A red heifer has to be perfect according to Scripture. But no one has ever found a perfect red heifer. Why? Because it can have the least, it have the smallest imperfection. That would change everything about it. But
that's
when
right.
you love God, there is no imperfections. So, love God,
absolutely.
And he will love you, and you will find heaven if you're a good person.
I'd like to share a thing. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just saying you are correct. Absolutely. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so I'd like to talk about the idea of giving charity. It's also known as tzedakah in Hebrew. An act of righteousness. So I'd like to share two teachings with you, gentlemen. I'm looking forward to your responses. First, turn to our friend from Singapore, and then Dennis. So it goes like this. So one who gives a poor man charity, but does so with a sour countenance, meaning they're not happy to do so, but with his face to the ground, even if he gave him 1,000 gold coins, he forfeited the merit of the commandment, the mitzvah, which says, let not your heart feel bad when you give to, say, a poor person. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. Rather, one should give to a poor person with a cheerful countenance and with joy. And he should express sympathy for him. As Job, Eob said in chapter 30, verse 25, have I not wept for the heavenly burden? Did my soul not sorrow for the destitute? One should furthermore speak comforting and consoling words to the poor man. It says, I will bring song to a widow's heart, which is in Job chapter 29:13. That's what I'm saying, sir, is that this is something that all of us can do. If we have the ability to help someone, we should do it with a cheery countenance, because we might make their day, their week, their month, their year. We might make that moment of cheering up a downtrodden soul, human being, whoever they are, could have such a purifying effect that then we can naturally segue. When, you know, right now we have 8,100,000,000 people in the world, sir. And there are people that are saying there are too many people in the world. That's ridiculous. According to Torah, according to biblical standards, that there's no such thing as stopping people to be fruitful and multiply. It has to be done in a responsible fashion. But we have to encourage human beings. The way to make it a little easier on the way, help another person, do it with cheery countenance. Your take on these matters, sir.
Do you want me to say? Yes, absolutely. No. Your words are coming from your heart, and it sat on the hearts of your listeners. Absolutely, you are right. Once you give a charity with love and passion, you will actually getting 10 times more what you gave down the road, you know. But if you give a charity without love and passion, as you mentioned, really is not only you will not get anything back, you know, it's not acceptable from the eyes of God, you know, that we all must have motive of purity is the question. And once you do that, you know, I have done many times, charity, and the money came 10 times more to me, and without knowing it, you know, I bought a lottery, I won $200, for example. So, you know, automatically you get it. Whether today, tomorrow, or 1 year from now, you will get it at some point, because you were a good man, and you tried to help somebody else. Go ahead, please.
Dennis, your take on these matters.
Charity is helping without expecting a return. You must give to other humans, but expect nothing in return. And what you get is on the positive side. And that's the expectation that we hope people will treat each other. Give without expecting a return. There's no deal. You cannot say, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this if I give? No. Charity says it's a one-way deal. You give without expecting. if you can do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you're right. But normally, if since our motive is in good faith and good deeds and good behavior, what will happen, you know, you will get it back somehow, regardless. I mean, I know you may not, I may not think I wanted anything back. That's true. But down the road, something happens and you get it maybe more than what you pay. And so it's completely good, okay, you know. But, yes, absolutely right. You have to do the charity without getting any kind of, say, getting back. But usually you get it back. That's what I meant. Thank you.
Well, we trust in God. We let God's ideas hang over us. That's how we live. That's how we act. That's how we behave. And that's why God put us on the planet, to do good, but no harm.
Right.
Yes, sir. I'd like to segue into something else to further embellish this whole idea from a teaching from the ethics of our fathers from chapter 1, the fifth Mishnah. Yossi ben Yochanan of Jerusalem taught or said, let your house be wide open for guests. Treat the poor as members of your household. And so but the whole idea of the house being wide open, Rambam, my mind is taught that keep your house wide open. So you should not have a gate. So you should have a gate open to wayfarers so that any traveler that needs anything or is hungry or thirsty will enter your home without hesitation. And as far as treating the poor as members of your household, employ the poor and indigent as your servant instead of purchasing slaves. The Jewish sages would thus criticize those who purchase servants and praise those who employ the poor, for they are one's people and are one's family. And I just want to mention that my next-door neighbors, very nice people from Barbados, the Millers, they have in their little courtyard, which is adjacent to our house, they have a table, and sometimes they put out extra food or something like that, or reading material. So although they're not letting people into the house, or not that I know of, maybe they are from time to time, they are, I don't know, but certainly on the you walk by the house, they say, there are signs that take. And I'm not saying a person, you know, gives up his household and here, but there's a place to invite people. Like, for instance, on the Jewish holidays, it is a law that we must have guests. So we shouldn't feel it's a self-indulgent, self-pleasurizing with eating too much food, but it should be gathering together to strengthen one and the other. Give me this idea of not just giving charity with the intent as we call it, a good countenance, but actually bringing people into the home as according to your instructions. Jimmy? Sir?
Yes, absolutely. You know, especially, you know, everything is connected together. The Jewish people, especially culture, is everybody help each other. If a son is a rich, son help bring sister, brother, and other family members into their own companies or something because they are trusted. So that's why they do good, you know. And unfortunately, United States, you know, it's not like that. United States culture is a little bit different. And if dad is rich, you know, they don't take care of the son, daughter, etc., to that extent of the Israeli culture that we all united together and, you know, we may live together for 4 or 5 years in three-bedroom apartment house, but later each one of us can buy our own houses. So that's the difference. Go ahead, please.
Dennis, your take on allowing people to become, you know, to join, and if one has the ability to do so, to bring people into the house,
well,
to feed them. And
this goes back to ancient times. Ancient times when there were Jews, Arabs, and Persians, that used to say, if someone found your tent in the middle of a desert and the wanderer or the stranger was walking about, you should invite him into your tent. Why? Because that's the right thing to do from a human viewpoint. You don't ask where he's from. You don't even ask where his name, what his name is. You accept other humans. But this was an ancient idea that you must accept into your tent any wandering people in the desert. This goes back to ancient times, where you must remember your house or your tent is open to people who are in need, period.
Thank you, Dennis. Okay, we're getting to the end of the program. So again, the essence of this program is to share teachings from King Solomon, who was the son of King David, from his epic work, Proverbs. And I'm going to read three verses, and then, of course, get both of you gentlemen's feedback on the matter. Chapter 3, verse 31, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. Chapter 32, for the perverse is an abomination to the Lord, but his counsel is with the upright. Now, 33, chapter 3 in Proverbs, 3:33, the curse of the Lord is in the wicked man's house, and shall bless the dwelling of the righteous. So, with that being said, all the goodness wicked man has accumulated, according to Mitzvah David, an Oral Torah commentator, a rabbi from several hundred years ago, that all the riches could actually bring a curse upon himself because he's going to use that money to do to harm. And where the mighty Almighty will bless the dwelling of the righteous, God will bless whatever is in the dwelling of the righteous, since the righteous bestow their bounty upon the poor and they'll receive their reward, according to Mitzvah David. So we here see again, connected to the topic of charity, giving something of our bounty to the poor gives us the title at that level of taking action as being righteous. So, Dennis, your comment on these matters.
Love conquers all. God wanted us to love ourselves, him, and all humanity. But we forget sometimes that what we bump into while we're humans is it's more important than love. We must remember where we are and who we are, and we're surrounded by humans. We are not perfect, but when you do good, other people see it. It becomes catchy. It's like a rash. You see somebody doing good, and you say, why can't I do that? You can do it. So we must practice love of God, love of other humans, and love of the earth, because that's the foundation, and that's why we were put here. We weren't put here for other reasons. And if you think you have more important reasons than love, you're misguided to a certain extent. You got to love yourself, love your fellow humans, and love God. Very simple, but it's very hard to do sometimes.
Thank you, Des. Jimmy, your take on these matters. Jimmy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peace is construction, war is darkness. Peace is light, war is darkness, but peace is construction, and war is destruction. But construction is part of destruction. Construction is part of destruction. This goes hand to hand together.
I agree.
That being said, thank you, sir. So I want to thank Jimmy from Singapore today, originally from the great land of Persia, known today as modern Iran, and Dennis, of course, who's in Turtle Island, as myself, Don Goodman. I want to wish everyone a wonderful week. We're going to segue out of today's program with a song from Yosef Kaderna, which we've played before, and he's going to be singing the lyrics to Psalms 121 in Hebrew, but I'll translate it, 8 verses, and then we'll segue out and wish everyone a wonderful week. Chapter 121 in Psalms, a song of ascent. I lift my eyes to the mountain. From where will my help come? Verse 2, my help will come from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Number 3, he will not let your foot falter. Your guardian does not slumber. Verse 4, indeed, the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Verse 5, the Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your protective shade at your right hand. Verse 6, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Verse 8, and concluding with this, the Lord will guard your going and coming from now and for all time, which means eternity, blessed souls. So let's be on the eternal mode, which means we should segue out today with a wish and a prayer for everyone of Ahav Echad, one love, Goel Echad, one destiny for all of us. But Dachi Nom Dachi Shalom, a pleasant, peaceful way. Have a blessed week. Do good and see the goodness manifesting in your life. Although you don't have to expect it, don't be surprised when more goodness comes to your life as you increase in your goodness. Yisheir Malos. By Yosef Kaderna. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're back.